many of you just can't wait to see what next week brings? How many of you really don't want to know what next week brings? Okay. Maybe you're just not looking forward to it. I'm not much of a Star Trek fan, but there was one line that Scotty, who was the chief mechanical officer on board the Starship Enterprise. All right, look at everybody. Can't quote scripture, but man, I get the movies down. And it dawned on me that there's this one verbiage that he did all the time. I looked for a video of it. Oh, I searched and scoured the internet space, and I guess the Enterprise is lost in space. Some of you don't remember that one, do you? Hey, but he said this one line, and it's simply this, and I got a picture of it, so here it is. It's the engines, Captain. She can't take much more. She's breaking up. How many remember that line? Anybody remember that line? One person remembers that line. Sometimes that's exactly how we feel. We can't take much more. It's breaking up. Life just brings stuff into our hearts and our minds and things around us, and we just wonder, is there any way that I can put up with what's going on? And maybe you've come today and you feel like you're not sure you can take much more. You're like Scotty this morning. You're not sure you can take much more of what's going on. Well, I have some good news for you. Are you ready? I have some good news for you, and it comes straight from the Bible, and it is simply this. God is on your side. Amen? And the battle is not yours, but God's. And everybody said, amen. All right. So if that's the case, and okay, let's stand, and I want to read scripture with you this morning. We are starting in a new series this morning, simply saying, are calling it Stay the Course, and we're going to go through the second book of Thessalonians, and I'm excited about what it has to say. We're going to start here, chapter 1 and verse 1, read down through about the first 5 verses as we prepare for the word today. Hear the word of the Lord. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing the church in Thessalonica to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I like that. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is what? Flourishing, and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you're suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you have been suffering. Heavenly Father, we pray now you take the word, you'd speak into our lives, Lord, the truth that is found here. Lord, this is your word. It's spoken by you, and it is for us. And we thank you, Lord, in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. These are the words of God that were spoke through the Apostle Paul in the New Testament to this community of believers. And because they are words of Scripture, they are words for you and I as well. Sometimes we read Scripture, and we read it, of course, within the context of where it was written, but we forget that it was written for us as well. This letter here of 2 Thessalonians is made up of 3 very short chapters. In fact, this is the kind of book that I like to read in high school. How many of you remember mandatory book reports? Anybody? Mandatory. Okay, young people or people younger people than me, book reports is where you read a book and then you had to report on it. Okay. And so, again, I was in the 8th grade. I'm very ingenious, and my teacher said, young man, you are missing a book report. I said, that's no problem. I can handle that. She said, you have until the end of lunch. Well, that kind of cramps my social thing, whatever I had. Anyway, I said, okay, and I said, what book? What? She said, I don't care. Any book in our library. Any book. She said, any book. I went there, and I looked at a book, and we went down to the small ones, the skinny ones, and because I had to read it and write the report. And the book I found, you'll appreciate this, Curious George Goes to the Zoo. Why in the world that was in a junior high library, I have no idea. But I took that book, I read it, and I wrote a report. I took it to her, and she said, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "You said any book, this is in our library." Well, Curious George and I have been friends ever since. This book of Thessalonians is three chapters long, and so it's kind of concise. You don't get too lost in it, but it is stuffed full of encouragement. In one of my many conversations with my now gone to the Lord pastor, father, retired guy, he once told me this, and as he came to the close of his ministry, I said, "Dad, what's something that you need to pass on to me?" And this is what he said, and I quote, "If I could do it all over again, the one thing I would do would be to encourage the church, encourage God's people more." And so my desire over these next few weeks is for you to be encouraged in your life. The title of the series, Staying the Course. That's what we want to talk about. How is it that we can stay the course in the midst of what's going on? The church in Thessalonica, it was born in all kinds of great difficulties. We read the story. If you go over to the book of Acts in chapter 17, you get this story that many people began to come to faith as Paul was preaching there in Thessalonica. He had only been preaching there a few weeks, and it really kind of stirred the whole place up. And pretty soon some of the locals were so upset and so opposed to what was going on that they rounded up a mob to riot. They must have been watching some of our news lately. And they went to this house of this guy named Jason. Jason was keeping Paul there while he was preaching. And so they came there. They couldn't find Paul, so they took Jason, if you will, and they found him, and they drug him out of his house. They took him before the court, and they charged him instead of Paul. Great difficulties were going on there. And Paul had to leave the city during the night, in fact, knowing that he may never get back to this group of people that he loves so dearly. A few months later, he wrote what we know to be 1 Thessalonians. And then just a couple of months later, he sat down and wrote this second book to those same believers. Now, most of us, can we not? Most of us can put up with trouble for a little while. Most of us can put up with difficulty for a little while. But when problems just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, it begins to wear us down just a little bit. And that's how it was for these believers. Going back to 1 Thessalonians for just a minute, I want to just share three scriptures with you very quickly. In chapter 1, verse 6, it said, "In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed us." In chapter 2, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians, "You suffered from your own countrymen." And then in chapter 3, verse 4, we hear these words from Paul. "When we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know." So in this same situation that is happening here in 2 Thessalonians, he said there in verse 4, "Among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials that you're going through." So that's kind of the picture of what was happening here. Now, I want you to notice that the present tense that Paul used, he said that you're going through. In other words, it had been several months, and the trials and the persecution and the difficulties just kept coming. You see, when trials keep coming our way, we wonder, how long will this continue? So what Paul did is he wrote 2 Thessalonians to encourage these believers to not give up. And I just want to tell you this morning, wherever you are right now, listen to me closely, don't give up. The enemy is going to try to convince you that's what you ought to do. Don't give up. The key verse in what we're going to study over these next few weeks is actually found kind of right in the middle of 2 Thessalonians, and it's found in chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "And for the rest of you," which includes us, "dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good." How many of you get tired of doing good? Usually I want to do something bad once in a while. You're not going to raise your hand on that anyway, so what does it matter? He said, never get tired of doing good. The danger is that you'll do right. And the danger is that we'll do right for a while, and then we just kind of grow weary of trying to be on top. And this letter is given to us in the New Testament to teach us how Christ enables his people to persevere. Oh, okay, so let's get it over with, shall we? Let's all bow our heads, and let's ask God to give us more patience. None of you are praying, I can see. So here's the question I have for us today. What is the battle that is wearing you down right now? Think. What is the battle that's wearing you down? Maybe you're fighting to hold on to your marriage. Keep it all together. Maybe you have a son or daughter who's kind of being a challenge and bringing difficulty in your life. Maybe you've been dealing with some family issues. I think all families come with issues. That's just the way it is. But maybe you're dealing with some family issues, and it's just not easy for you to just keep going with what's happening. Maybe you're battling a particular sin that you think you got get on top of it, and it just comes back. It raises its ugly head, and then it's back in your face once again. We all know that most of us, we work in an environment now that everything is affirmed except faith in Christ. And over time, this stuff just begins to wear us down. Everyone who serves God wholeheartedly with everything that they are will know what it is to come to the place of saying, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. Lord, you've got to help me. Lord, you've got to see to the needs of my life. So this is all about this idea of perseverance. It's about how you stay the course even when you want to give up. So where do we begin? Where do we start? Well, it's got to start with the desire to persevere. The Apostle Paul, he even observed and he made the remark that we talk about it in the churches all the time. We tell other believers what we're facing and we tell them how we're standing in all these precarious trials and difficulties. And a matter of fact, we encourage others by telling them, Paul said, we encourage other churches by telling them what you're going through. That's kind of different. Your example, Paul said to this church, your example of when you stand in difficult circumstances really encourages other believers more than you'll ever know or imagine. Now, the key word that we are dealing with here in the NIV is called perseverance. That can be translated in a few other words. In the King James, it's the word patience. In the ESV, it's the word steadfastness. Or in the New Living Translation, it's called endurance. This gives us a sense of the scope that Paul is talking about. We boast about your perseverance, Paul said. We boast about your patience and your steadfastness and your endurance. So the question is obvious. Pastor, please get to the point. How can I have more patience with my children? How can I persevere where I am in ministry? How can I build more stability and endurance into my life? How can I be the kind of person who goes the distance as a Christian in this world that we live in? What produces this character? And here's the one thing I want you to get today. Perseverance, you ready? Perseverance is the outcome, or it is the fruit of growing in faith and love. Something we have not maybe thought about. Perseverance is the outcome of growing in faith and love in my life. You look again at verse 3. He says, your faith is flourishing, growing, moving. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing, flourishing. Jesus, I think, made a remark in Matthew. He said, oh, you have little faith. To the centurion, he said, I have not seen so great a faith in Israel. The disciples asked Jesus in Luke 17:5. They said, Jesus, increase our faith. It's a wonderful thing to have faith in Christ. Amen? Wonderful thing. If you're a Christian, you have faith in Him, hopefully this morning. But what's happening to your faith? Is it growing? When the disciples found themselves in the storm and they were all panic and they're all freaking out, and Jesus said, what? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Now listen, Jesus wasn't saying you don't have faith. That's not what he said. He was saying, you're not using your faith, guys. Where's your faith? What about us this morning? Are we exercising faith by applying and sticking to the in these difficult things that come into our life? Or are we sticking to the course? Faith is confidence. Let me tell you, faith is simply confidence in the ultimate triumph of our God. Faith is simply the confidence in the ultimate triumph of God. That's what we need. He said your faith is flourishing, and he said your love is growing. Paul is saying, here's the wonderful thing we're thanking God for, guys, as he wrote to them. He said, your faith is growing, your love is increasing. Growing faith, increasing love, that's the work of God in our lives, believers. God is at work in you and me. You're under pressure, and yet your faith is growing, Paul said, and your love is increasing. How in the world does that happen, Pastor? How in the world does that happen? Let me tell you something. It's just evidence that God is at work. God is at work in your life. Even in those difficult times. Sometimes we get our minds so focused on the issues, the difficulties, and the trials at hand that we miss it. Paul must have felt some special joy as he wrote down these words, because exactly what he had been praying for. I mean, as Paul began to hear the report from them, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Those were the prayers that Paul had. He must have had some great joys as he got back with those in Thessalonica and realized that that's exactly what was going on. Paul was concerned about these believers and being unable to go and visit them like he wanted to. He sent Timothy, and Timothy came back with an incredible report to the Apostle Paul. He said, they're still suffering, things are still coming unglued, but their faith is growing and their love for each other is increasing. No wonder Paul says, we thank God for this. This is an answer to prayer. It is God who causes faith to grow. It is God who causes my love to increase. So God must be in the midst of this difficulty working in my life. And it's clear evidence that God is at work. So how do you get perseverance? We said perseverance was what? It was the fruit of what? Growing faith and growing love. So as we grow in faith and in love, we will have the patience to endure. You see how it works together? Underneath this whole business of perseverance is simply these two things, faith and love. Now, perseverance comes through faith. James said it this way in James chapter 1, verse 3. The testing of your faith develops what? It's the word perseverance. The testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Good. Thank you. God bless you for saying it out loud. Perseverance comes through faith. Now, in the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, what does it say? Love is what? Patient. Uh-oh, there's that word. Love is patient. It's the nature of love to be patient. Do you need more patience? Some of you do. The way you get it is to grow in faith and love. Grow in faith and you'll grow in patience. You want more patience? Then let your faith grow. You want to grow in perseverance? Let your love grow. Love, in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, says this. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So you need perseverance, then you need your love to grow. It is in the nature of grass to grow. Well, unless I plant it, it doesn't really work that way, but You know, we got a lot of rain, and it just keeps raining, and it just kept raining, and I was wondering how long it was going to rain, and then the sun comes out, and it's like the grass just takes off. And then you know what? Isn't it just my luck that the day that it rains is the day that the gardener is supposed to come? So another week. It's in the nature of grass to grow. And in the same way, it's in the nature of love to be patient. It's in the nature of faith to persevere. So don't look at the surface problem. You got to look at the root. I don't know, how many of you had a real Christmas tree this year? One. Okay. Was it fun? Okay, I remember that's all we used to go to afford. And we would go down to the store. Later on we could go cut our own. But we'd go down to the store, and they were already cut, right? And what color was the tree? Green. It smelled. It was fresh. And so we'd bring it to the house, and we'd stick it in there about the second week of December, put it in the stand, and we'd keep water in it, and keep water in it, and keep water in it. And how many of you, your tree got bigger and bigger and bigger? No, because if you leave it up, because you got to get into the new year, so you leave your tree up, right, in the stand, and you forget to water it because it's past Christmas, and then all the needles begin to fall out. And then when you finally decide it's time to take it out, and you drag it out the door, there's just this trail of needles all the way out to the curb. What happened? Was there life in the tree? Yes. But what happened is once it was cut, there were no roots. There was no way for it to continue life. If we want perseverance in our life, we want patience in our life, we've got to let the roots go down. And the roots are love and faith. It's important. Not only to know this, but we got to be able to use it. So let me give you about three or four practical ways we use this in our Christian walk. All right? First of all, it's in the area of prayer. We use this to improve my prayer. How should you pray when you're worn out, when you're tired, you're losing heart, you're discouraged, and you're weary? How do you pray? Oh, God, give me more strength. Oh, God, give me patience. And that would be an okay prayer. But maybe a better way to pray is to ask God to increase your love and renew your confidence in His ultimate triumph. Instead of saying, Lord, give me patience, let's get to the root of it. Lord, renew my confidence, increase my faith, increase my love, and my confidence that you're in charge of this whole thing. You can pray about the surface issue. But it would be better if your prayer touched the root of the problem. Underneath all of your struggles with patience and perseverance, you'll find that faith is losing heart and love is growing old and cold. Faith and love are the roots that nourish perseverance. When the Thessalonians were facing the troubles that Paul was talking about Paul didn't pray, Lord, please stop those terrible trials. But that's how we pray. Lord, take this trial away. Lord, take this difficulty out of my life. Paul didn't pray, Lord, take it away. He didn't say what? He didn't even say, God, give him patience. Give him endurance during this time. What did he say? Lord, help him grow in faith and in love. You've been praying for an unbelieving loved one for years, and nothing's happened. I mean, they're the hard-headedest person in the world. You've been praying. You're getting rather discouraged over this whole situation. You could say, Lord, oh God, help me to persevere. Continue to pray for this loved one. Or maybe you could pray this. Number one, God, would you increase my faith in your ability to change them? Lord, increase my faith in your ability to change their life. Okay. Any of you married types out there tried to change your spouse? Honestly, have you ever tried to make a change in them? You're not, you know what? You guys are not participating. Conviction does that, doesn't it? Okay, good job. Thank you. That was under duress. I'll note that. Folks, you can't change people. All right? And I'm a witness to that. I'm an example of that. You can't change people. You want to be frustrated in marriage? And those of you that aren't married, take note. You want to frustrate yourself really quick? Try to change your mate. So instead of trying that, what if you just said, Lord, give me more faith to believe that you can bring about the change that needs to happen? Or the second thing, how about this? Lord, increase my love for this person. Because honestly, right now, I'm a little bit impatient with what's going on. Increase my love. Let me tell you something. If you're praying for God to help you love somebody, it's really hard to be impatient with them. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my love. See, the reason you're discouraged in praying is that you haven't seen the answer. And so you get this frustration that begins to build, and because that other person is so stinking stubborn. Can I say that in church? Okay, good. I have to glance at my wife once in a while just to make sure I'm okay. As your love for that person increases, your faith in God's ability to change them increases, guess what? You're going to get a fresh wind in your sails and just hang in there and persevere and continue to pray and continue to trust. Maybe you're struggling with parenting of your children. The demands are just constant. As time goes on, you find you're getting short-tempered. You're getting a little bit impatient, and you see what's happening. And so what do? Oh, God, give me more patience. You can ask God to give you or make you more patient with your children. But when you know that the root of patience is what? Faith and love. Would it not be better to pray and ask God to fill your heart with love for these children? And to give you a new confidence in what he can make out of their lives. Faith and love. Maybe you're battling a sin that just continues to come back. And you're a little discouraged because of your failures and you're tired of the battle. Ask the Lord to increase your faith in his power. You see, Jesus said what? I have what? I have overcome. You want to overcome. You don't overcome by might or by power, but by his spirit. It is through him. Ask God to help you love him more than you love the sin. Call it out. Lord, help me to love you more than this. That's really getting to the root of the problem, because as your faith grows, as your love for Christ begins to increase, you're going to persevere in the battle against that sin. And since he's already overcome, you will be too an overcomer. God is the one who makes faith and love grow, not us. So you ask him to do it. Ask him to do it specifically in relationship to whatever struggle is going on in your life. You can apply this to any situation where you're feeling a little weary. This week, let me challenge you to make a list of those battles and then ask, what would it look like for me to have more faith? What would it look like for me to have more love in this situation? Well, not only is it useful in prayer, but it also strengthens my usefulness to God in the kingdom. You know, ministries get started through all kinds of different gifts, and you're all so gifted out there today. But the only way you're going to sustain ministry is in faith and love. The only way you're going to stick it out is through faith and love. In order to sustain ministry over a long period of time, you have to love people. You have to love the people you're serving. If you don't really love people, it's easy just to walk away from responsibility. You have to believe that God's going to work. You got to have faith to believe God's going to do something in what I'm doing. And persevere. It's not the great gifts that God uses so much as the great likenesses to Christ. And as more love and more faith comes into my life, guess what? I look more and more like Jesus. Well, faith and love will not fizzle out. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, and then again in verse 13. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Three remain: faith, hope, and love. Three remain: faith, hope, and love. The other thing you can do is you can use this approach to kind of leverage the things that are going on in your life. Have you ever thought that the grace of God can advance you in life even in the midst of your difficulties? Even in the midst of a difficult marriage, maybe some rebellious children, through sickness, through financial difficulty, do you know that God can advance your life? God can advance His grace in your life. God will use the hardest things in your life. Take this from me. God will use the hardest things in your life to make you more like Him. The trials of our lives, folks, are the setting which God displays His incredible grace. Don't waste your suffering. God doesn't waste anything that's happening in your life, by the way. So don't waste it. Be more eager to have your difficulty sanctified than taken away. How's that? Lord, use this somehow in my life. Even here, Jesus is our greatest example, isn't he? Learn from Christ how we ought to suffer, how we ought to go through these difficulties. Jesus endured what he suffered by doing what? By exercising faith. Peter reminded us of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. He said this: when they hurled their insults at him, Jesus is on the cross. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, listen to this line. Oh, it's good. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, he had great faith that his Father's plan was coming together. And so that's what kept him. Now, folks, that's faith. He's surrounded by darkness, literally. But he puts his faith, what? In the ultimate triumph of his God. Jesus also endured suffering and difficulty, not just through faith, but also through love. How could he stay on the cross? I can only imagine the incredible human pain that was caused there on the cross. I don't have the time to walk you through that, but I'm sure you've heard. The nails were not 16s. They were a foot long, about that big around. And by the way, they weren't filed to a needle point sharpness. And Jesus was not nailed through his palms, but right through here. Why? So that the bones that are right here would hold him. Brutal. How could he stay on the cross? Soldier takes a spear and shoves it in his side. If you've ever had to suffer with asthma, you know what it is to not be able to breathe. Can you imagine being hung there on the cross in such a fashion that it caused your lungs to be compacted? And the only way that you could possibly get air into those lungs was to push up on the nail that was through your feet. People are shouting. Hey, you think you're so bad? Come on down. You do all these other miracles. Come on. Come on, show us. Oh, man, if I was Jesus, I'd have showed them. And don't look at me like you're a bunch of saints. You would have too. You know that song? He could have called 10,000 angels. I'd have called 20. I'd have made short work of everybody. Aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Amen. But what made him stay there? John 15:13 is what made him stay there. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for another. It wasn't the nails. We know that. He was God. It wasn't the nails that kept him there, but it was his incredible love for you and I. Christ persevered through faith, and he endured through love. Folks, he is our example. So whatever it is that you're facing this morning, listen, the answer is not, oh, God, give me more patience, but God, help me to have greater faith in you and build my love for you and others. Paul said, when I see you enduring great trials because of your faith, it's because your faith is growing and your love is increasing. I see a reflection of Jesus in you. So here's the challenge. We need to let Jesus be seen through our difficulties, through our trials, our testings, with a strong and increasing faith and a growing love, perseverance will be who we are. Don't pray for patience. Pray for greater faith and pray for growing love. It'll make all the difference in the world. Bow your heads with me. Can we stand just while your heads are bowed? I want to pray for all of us this morning, if I can. With your head bowed. Oh, I wish I could come and stand beside every one of you this morning. I wish I could ask you what's going on in your life that has just kind of got you wore out. Wish I had the time, the energy to do that. But can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is in this place? God is pulled up next to you. He knows what you're facing. He knows.